reading today is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 3. One day, while Moses was taking care of the sheep and goats of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, he led his flock across the desert and came to Sinai, the holy mountain. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a flame coming from the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but that it was not burning up. "This is strange," he thought. "Why isn't the bush burning up? I'll go closer and see." When the Lord saw that Moses was coming closer, he called to him from the middle of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Yes, here I am." God said, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, because you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have seen how cruelly my people are being treated in Egypt. I have heard them cry out to be rescued from their slave drivers. I know all about their sufferings. And so I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of Egypt to a spacious land, one which is rich and fertile, and in which the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites now live. I have indeed heard the cry of my people, and I see how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now I am sending you to the king of Egypt so that you can lead my people out of his country." But Moses said to God, "I am nobody. How can I go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and when you bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. That will be the proof that I have sent you." But Moses replied, "When I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors sent me,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' So what can I tell them?" God said, "I am who I am. This is what you must say to them. The one who is called I Am has sent me to you. Tell the Israelites that I, the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have sent you to them. This is my name forever. This is what all future generations are to call me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, John. Okay, so we have a bit of a task on our hands this morning. We have this ancient story, which maybe is a bit familiar, has had lots of iterations over the last hundreds of years. We have three babies who are being baptized this morning, and we need to find a way of making this story and this experience that we're about to have today relevant to one another. How do these two things fit? On one side, you've got a story about a guy called Moses, thousands of years ago, in a land thousands of miles away, who has this extraordinary experience. And on the other side, you have us in Otley today, and three beautiful babies. How do these things fit together? Well, I want to suggest they tell us five things about God. And we're going to go through them, and we're hopefully, in the course of that, those five things, we'll learn some things about one another and about what it means to have babies baptized. So, John, if we can have the first slide. The first thing we discover in this passage is that God shows up. God arrives. God is there in the midst of this burning bush. Now, a bit of historic background. It was not unusual for bushes in the desert outside Egypt to catch fire. Bushfires happen all the time. Just look at the news in South France or in Australia regularly. Bushfires are a thing that happens. But the amazing thing about this story is that Moses sees something interesting about this particular bushfire, and he decides to investigate. The interesting thing isn't about the fact that the bush is on fire, but that the bush never actually burns up. And Moses notices this, and he chooses to go and investigate. I would like to suggest this morning that God is always showing up. God is always showing up. The question is, do you take the time to go and investigate? Do you notice the little things? I mean, this is an ancient reference, but I hope we get it. Do you ever see those glitches in the matrix and go, hang on a second, there's something, this is too beautiful, this is too coincidental, this is too magnificent. The birth of a child seems to be, to me, to be one of those moments when God shows up and we see something outrageously beautiful. And do you take the time in that moment to investigate? To go, what is going on here? I love what Moses says in verse 3. This is strange. This is strange. I will go closer and see. So that's number one. God shows up. I remember times in my own life when I have experienced God showing up. There was a time when my family was going through some really tough times. Parents' relationship breaking up. Dad was in trouble. There was lots going on for me. And I ended up in holiday in Lake Windermere, in the Lake District, I could say. And I was on a bench. I can remember the bench I was sitting on when God showed up. And he said to me, it will be okay. It was the most extraordinary experience. And it leads me on to the second thing that we discover about this passage. John, if we can have the next slide. In that moment in Lake Windermere, God said my name. And this is the amazing thing about this passage. God says Moses' name. Now, we are used to being people knowing our names. Google knows your name. Facebook knows your name. Even Starbucks knows your name, although they may not be able to spell it. I have a friend who, every time he goes to Starbucks, he's wearing his dog collar, and they ask him, oh, what's your name? And he says, Dibley. And the name's Dibley. And then they try and get him to try and spell that. So, we know, you know, the gimmicks, the algorithms, they know your name. But that is not what's going on in this text. When God shows up and says, Moses, Moses, or when he says, John, John, or when he says your name, this is not a gimmick, this is not an algorithm, this is a sense of intimacy. God knows you. He shows up because he knows you. Part of a baptism service is naming these children. These are not three children. This is not a statistical amount of children. This is not a book-checking exercise for us. This is about Bella. And this is about Thomas. And this is about Jasper. These are people with names who God knows. And God says their name. God calls your name. Have you heard him call your name? Over the summer, I decided that some things that I've been doing for a number of years, some holiday camps that I've been running for like the last 10 years, so this is going to be my last year. And so I told the team a year ago and been preparing for this and gave a handover document and made sure that, you know, the team was looked after. But I walked away going, I know this is the right thing to do. I know I shouldn't be here anymore. And I'm really sad to be leaving. And I don't really want to go. And I found these conflicting emotions inside me. Where I was like, this is the right thing to do, but I don't know if I should go. How am I going to feel? I was talking to a friend of mine earlier in the week. And he said, yeah, I don't understand myself either. And it gets worse as the years go on. Oh, thanks. That's really comforting. But to know at those times when you don't even understand yourself that God calls your name and he knows you. He understands the warp and the weave of your emotional life. It's such a gift. Next one. God draws near. Now don't kill me for talking about Christmas, but it is September, so you really should start working on your present list. God draws near. I love these verses. What God says to Moses in verse 7, I have seen, I have heard, I know, and I have come. I have seen the suffering of my people. If you don't know the story, at this point, Israel have been in slavery in Egypt for like 400 years. Horrible suffering that they've been going through. And God turns up and he says, I've seen the suffering. I've heard the cry. I know the pain of my people, and I have come. The reason this is worth mentioning is because for Bella and Jasper and Thomas, tough times are ahead. It's never going to get better for them than sit on your backside all day and we'll feed you. There are going to be times when life is really tough. And to know that God shows up, that God knows your name, and that God has heard your cry and is walking with you through it, is such an important thing to be able to know for the life of these children as they start their years on this planet. The reason I mention Christmas is because it's not a very Christmassy thing to talk about suffering when you get into December, but this is one of the most important things for me about the Christmas story, is that God is not distant, looking down on us in our suffering. God entered into the human life and experienced a life which included suffering. So when you cry out to God and say, this is really hard, he says, I know. I have been there. I have done that. And that's not the sort of thing we talk about at Christmas, because we've got, you know, it's nice to hold on to the rose-tinted glasses. So I mention it now as maybe something you might want to think about in the months to come. That the story of Christmas is about God saying, I know what it feels like to suffer. And so for Thomas and Jasper and Bella, as they go through life, one of my prayers for them is that they would know Christ walking alongside them, who has suffered with them and can carry them through. Okay, number four. God shows up. God speaks our name. God hears our cry, and then he sends us out. Now for Moses, what Moses was sent to do was free the people of Israel from Egypt and bring them into the promised land. That was the sending that Moses had. But each one of you here this morning has been called to do something. Each one of you has a purpose, and God has a plan for your life, and he is sending you into this world to do something. To be a mum, to be a dad, to be an honourable co-worker, to be someone who fights for justice for the poor, to be someone who speaks up for those who have no voice, to be a great aunt and uncle and grandparent and godparent. God calls you into this world and he sends you out to fulfill his project of love. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This project of love that God is on and that he sends us into. And if you're anything like me and that feels extremely scary, well, there's hope because of the last slide. God comes with. In response to the sending that Moses was given, he said, but I'm a nobody. Who am I to do this? And God says, I am with you. I will go with you through life. So those five things: God shows up. God knows our name. God walks with us in the suffering. God sends us out into the project of love. And God goes with us. I think help us this morning as we think about what we're doing with Thomas, Jasper, and Bella. And to that end, I've written a short prayer to kind of bring all these things together, which I'm going to pray for these baptism candidates, but I'd like to pray for all of us. And so we'll have a moment of as much silence as we can muster, and then I'll pray this prayer. Would you know, and would Jasper and Thomas and Bella know, that God has drawn near? Would you know that he calls your name, and that he draws near to you in times of trouble? Would you know that God sends you into this world on his great project of love? And ultimately, would you know that Christ walks with you through this life to the end of your days? Amen.